The Politics Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/JURY. That's where you can support me. That's where you can support this show. That's where if you give us $3 a week, that is three whole American dollars per week, you get three podcasts per week. Not only this one, which will always be free, but also the Monday and the Friday versions of the show. They're a little shorter, but you want to know what? They get you the updates in this fast-moving world. A lot of this stuff, man, it pops off over the weekend. It is dead by Wednesday. Pops up on Thursday. It is dead by Wednesday. But if you have the extra podcast, that's not the case. So head on over there right now, patreon.com/JURY. $3 a week. I know it says per creation. It won't let me change it to per week. It's per week. You get charged once per week. Also, if you want to get my thoughts 5 days a week for free in email form, you can head on over to freepoliticalnewsletter.com. Again, freepoliticalnewsletter.com. 5 links every day, some hot takes, some gifts. And one of Schnitz Creek that he put in there today. And one of Triple H nodding. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
Politics, 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 politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Politics program. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining you as always, I'm curious, because we're going to talk about a lot of stuff here today, but I'm going to get a little real with you guys. Number one, I got something for Corey Lewandowski. Number two, I got something for Space Team. We got some crazy ass ads that you guys have sent in. This is a bountiful show. Oh boy. Sometimes you look up to the heavens and you say, God will provide. And we have had a harvest on this episode. I'm going to get a little bit real with you guys, because this was not a good week for me to be me. I don't know how you guys understand me as a political commentator. And it's hard for me to think about it in any kind of critical way. It's always hard for you to look at yourself and see yourself through the eyes of others. But we are in a political era right now where context has kind of gone to die. Everything is tied up in, will my team win? And this is all about, this week, the child separation stuff on the border. So let's talk about that, and let's talk about the news there before we get into the real victim, me. Because people have been mean to me. Sure, kids being separated from their parents seeking political asylum. Zero tolerance policy. Sure. But let's get to the podcaster who makes his living on Patreon. First, let's talk about the news, though. This coming out of the White House today, Trump does plan to sign an executive action to prevent family separation at the border. This comes from Fox News. President Trump is planning to sign an executive order to allow children to stay with their parents caught crossing the border illegally. a step that could avoid the family separations that have triggered national outcry and political crisis for Republicans. The action under consideration would allow children to stay in detention with parents for an extended period of time, Fox News has learned. This comes as congressional Republicans scrambled the draft legislation to address the same issue, but faced challenges mustering the votes. Trump previewed the new measure while holding out hope for legislation during remarks to reporters during a Wednesday meeting with lawmakers. Quote, "I'll be signing something in a little while to keep families together," he said, calling the move somewhat preemptive and stressing that it would, quote, be matched by legislation. He also said that he is canceling the upcoming congressional picnic, saying it didn't feel exactly right to me. If you are unaware, this has become a tremendous issue that I believe Blue Team successfully punished Republicans and Donald Trump on. It highlighted a few of the weaknesses of the Trump administration politically. Number one, that organization is not exactly their strong suit. Number two, that Donald Trump is a capricious decision maker with a tremendous soft spot. Do we say soft spot? Do we say he makes decisions rashly in general. He is very prone to do it whenever kids are involved. Remember, he bombed Syria because he saw a video of dead kids. It also, when we come into the, well, to speak to the disorganization politically, this is one of those things that Stephen Miller and some of the hardline immigration folks inside the Trump administration have looked at as a way that they can make immigration painful for everybody. They believe that tremendous immigration reform is necessary. And so the more that they can make any part of it ugly and awful, the happier they are. Because they want the conversation to be, Stephen Miller does, this is an awful system. We need to change it. And we need to change it the way that I believe we need to change it, which is to be far more draconian. So the idea that kids are separated, which is not new, people have been doing this for years. I mean, and this gets into my larger thing, but they want to make it ugly, and they did. They succeeded. But the Democrats were smart to push back on this as hard as they did because they knew that Donald Trump would cave. And he did. He buckled like a belt. You can't go out and say, this is about Congress, this is about Congress, this is about Congress, and then sign an executive order. That means that you are doubling back. So whoever thought this was a good gambit was wrong. This will ultimately do more political harm to the Trump administration than it will do good. This was a bad move by them, as evidenced by the fact that they are beep, 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 backing up, backing up, backing up, backing up. It's my daddy taught me good. They're backing up on it. Now, here is, in my mind, because once this is done, this will be done. Because ultimately, people don't really care about the plight of migrants that are coming into the United States. Because we didn't care when it was happening with Obama. These detention centers didn't get built in 5 minutes. They existed before. Chimera 96 in the chat room says they tried the same play with DACA, and that hasn't worked for them. No wall funding, court staying decisions. The DACA thing's a different gambit, because I think ultimately the face that the Trump administration wants on immigration is economically. And so you can say adults who were brought in here, which by and large, a lot of the Dreamers are working age at the very least, you know, in their mid-teens, that if they don't have amnesty, then you are freeing up jobs. You can make that argument. There's no economic argument to be made. We need to separate these kids and these parents. That's cruelty. It's seen as cruelty to the masses, which is why there's been the reaction that we've seen. So the more that the Democrats can make Donald Trump's immigration policy about cruelty, the better it is for them. The more that the Trump administration can make the immigration policy about economics, the better it is for them. So there is no way to look at this week and say that this is good for the for the Trump administration. This is a bad week for the Trump administration, as everybody, as the consensus is that it is cruel to separate children from their parents. That's that. That's the news. Let me get into this. I had what I thought was a very bad segment on the Frog Pants Show, the morning stream, yesterday. And if you've never listened to that show, it is Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbitt. Great, great, great friends and good hosts. Scott is somebody that, to varying levels, has been very upset with the Trump administration. And this made him very upset. He is a father of three and was made very upset with the separation. So I felt personally that I was... my tone came off as dismissive. But this was my larger point. My larger point is that there's a lot of context to where we are in terms of our modern immigration problem. A lot of context. We have not done a good job, in my mind, about our immigration system. I think it's a broken system. Both sides can agree it's a broken system. Inherently, the issue is that we have a supply and demand problem. We have too many people that want to come in here. And right now, we don't have a good way of getting them in here in a fast, orderly manner. We also have a lot of migrant labor, people that come up, work, and then leave. The way that we've handled this, in my opinion, is bad on a federal level for many, many, many decades. I think that the way that we have guided immigration by immigration caps is racially biased. And it's racially biased from ways that predate our modern idea of racism. Like, I'm talking about racist against Irish and Italians racist. Old school racist. Retro racist. Vintage racist. I think that we have built a very ugly house of cards because nobody really wants to deal with it. Ultimately, you are talking about people that are not citizens and therefore not voters, and so political animals that are here to get elected each and every cycle they can don't really care about it. There's lip service, but nobody really cares about it. And even now, we're going to argue, scream, and yell about this thing. And yes, it is cruel, but it is only one step forward taken on a path of cruelty, in my opinion. And so, to provide some of this context, I posted on my Twitter, Justin R. Young, on Twitter, I retweeted a immigration lawyer who had a thread about a moment he had as a Democratic supporter at a Democratic fundraiser where he shook the hand of then-President Barack Obama and said, we need to close these detention centers. And basically, the words that Obama said back to him, according to this guy, so put it on him if you think he's lying, were almost verbatim the kind of stuff that I was reading as justification from the Trump administration. That we can't have parents sending their unaccompanied kids to get asylum in America. Now, I did not mean this to say this is Obama's fault. I did not mean this to deflect from any blame that should be going on the Trump administration. But the vast majority of what I got back was, why are you doing one of those two things? Why are you blaming Obama? Why are you deflecting blame from the Trump administration? I don't know how. And Obama was somebody that didn't have a great record on immigration, for the record. This is somebody that had senators from his own party calling him, maybe congressmen from his own party, calling him the deporter in chief. So, if we can take a hot second and just understand that at least when we're here, when we're on my show, when we're on the PX3 program, when I'm on my Twitter, please know that I am not about political action. I am about political scorekeeping. I am about political understanding. I am about political analysis. And we like to put a funny sheen on it because I find a lot of it so absurd you can't help but fucking laugh. But I'm not here to push in a fucking agenda. This is the reason why I hate get out the vote drives. I hate get out the vote drives. For this reason, 9 times out of 10, it is Orwellian. Get out the vote drives are not about, they're not about, please go vote for whoever you want. 9 out of 10 times, it is doublespeak. It is go vote for my candidate. Because do yourself a favor. The next time when we got this election coming up right now, right? And now everybody's going to be out on Twitter. Remember to vote. Remember to vote. Do your duty. Get out to vote. File away everybody who's fucking telling you to get out to vote. No matter who you're voting for, you got to get out to vote. Then in the next 6 months, find out how many of those same people are calling anybody who voted for the other party evil or bad or anti-American. Because effectively then what they're saying is, go vote, but if you don't vote for my person, I'm going to call you an awful name. So please do that. So JKing206 says, bringing up the Obama quote makes sense when in the context of this is a longstanding problem that needs to be solved. However, the same tactic is used in whataboutism defense for the current situation. Again, this is, I'm only trying to build context. I'm not trying to whataboutism. This is, I don't know what, do I need to apply for a fucking license? Do I need to go wear a sign? Do I need to wear a sandwich board saying I don't give a fuck about your politics? I'm trying to understand this. Is there any fucking room for this in today's modern climate? Am I taking crazy pills? Oh my God. Is there no room for context? Does everything have to be viewed through this lens? It just drives me up a wall. And if there's one thing that I want, one thing that I'm working toward, that I am trying to bring to America because I believe it desperately needs it. It's just a safe place to talk about this shit where we're not constantly thinking about November. Where we're not constantly thinking about, well, that's why my personal point of views are correct. Where we can understand some degree of history. Because that's the Orwellian shit that scares me, to be honest with you. The Orwellian shit that scares me is how much gets thrown down the fucking memory hole. And how much all of our history is shaped by political actors. Which, by the way, is 90% of political podcasts. 90% of political television. 90% of political writing is about reshaping actual history, narrative, and facts to fit November, whatever the November is. All right. Now let's get back to what really matters, Space Force. And Gambling Man points out, we're not just thinking about November. And now in a couple minutes, I'm going to do a segment where I scream and yell about, you know, some totally unconnected piece of random data that does portend what may or may not happen in November. But sure, that's true. I think I'm doing it in a fun way. I think I'm doing it in an interesting way. Space Force is a thing that Donald Trump said offhand during a theoretically unconnected announcement about the concerted effort by the United States to deplete junk in space. He says he is putting in the requisite orders to the military, to the Pentagon, to create a Space Force that would be separate from the Air Force. Long story short, I think the idea of a Space Force is going to be something that we will find less and less ridiculous as we put more and more shit into space and more people go into space. As that technology becomes cheaper and cheaper, I think it's good. I also think that it is probably a smart idea considering how much of our military is really the military-industrial complex, that having a reset button where we can think about who we are buying stuff from is probably also not the worst idea on the planet. Will it happen? Probably not. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I have to say about Space Force. But it was by far one of the biggest things that people wanted to talk to me about. Here's what I'm more interested in. Corey Lewandowski being a fuckface. Corey Lewandowski is a dickwad. He's an insipid, obsolete mule. He's a weird pencil come to life. He's the guy at the sports bar that's ruining it for everyone. Now, this has nothing to do with his politics. This is a personal attack. Normally, we try to keep it on a political level. Let's debate the issues. No, I think he's probably just, he's just that guy. Oh, my God, this guy. Corey Lewandowski is a name that we know, not because he's good at his job. In fact, we largely know his name because he was bad at his job. He was the campaign director when Donald Trump first launched. By the way, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for president of the United States. On the newsletter, we posted a highlight reel of what everybody said that day. Whew. Those takes did not age well. So you want to know what I will give Corey Lewandowski? When you're there, at the moment that things happen, you do get an element of credit, even if you're just the guy standing next to the guy. Corey Lewandowski, he gets credit for that. I will give him credit for being the guy standing next to the guy when things began to happen. But let's remember. Well, here, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and play why I'm annoyed with Corey Lewandowski right now. This was him on television last night talking about on Fox News, talking about the separation of kids at the border.
A girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
Wah,
I read about a did you say want to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome
what
being
I
taken
said
from
is
her
you
mother?
Can pick anything
How
you
dare
want
you?
Up, but the bottom
How
line is very
dare
clear.
You?
When you cross
How absolutely
the border
dare you,
illegally.
Sir?
One more time. Let's get that one from the top.
About a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
Wah,
I
wah.
Read about a...
This fucking guy.
Taken from her mother and put in a cage.
Wah,
I
wah.
Read about a...
Now. It's also funny how worked up this guy gets. I don't know who Zach Petkansas, former senior DNC advisor, also gets very worked up.
Did you say want to a 10-year-old with Down syndrome
what
being
I
taken
said
from
is
her
you
mother?
Can pick anything
how
you
dare
want
you?
Up, but the bottom
how
line is very
dare
clear.
You?
When you
how
cross
absolutely
the border
dare you,
illegally,
sir?
You
how
have
dare
given
you?
Up the...
He has a little bit of a fist pound that's pretty funny. Hold on.
Anything
How
you
dare
want
you?
Up, but the bottom
How
line is very
dare
clear.
You?
When you
How
cross
absolutely
the border,
dare you?
He gets one little pat. He instead of slamming the table, he gets one little. How absolutely dare you? All right, Corey Lewandowski. Let's go ahead and do the resume. Corey Lewandowski got into trouble because he goon-handed a Breitbart reporter. When you are running a Republican presidential campaign and you can't handle the Breitbart reporter, you got to goon hand this lady and then not just make it go away by a few I'm sorry, things got a little heated. I didn't realize it was used at the bar. You might be bad at your job. Just maybe. Oh, wait a minute. Here's another reason why. He also got fired from his dream job while he was dating Donald Trump's favorite employee, Hope Hicks. Dagum says, I'm going to guess goonhand is another way to say sexually assaulted. No. Goonhand is, if like you're like somebody's like trying to talk to you and you just like kind of grab them like by like the upper arm and just like grab them and then like walk them off like that. It's a goon hand. Is goon hand in the Urban Dictionary? Let's see. Goon hand. Taking a firm grip of the meaty underside of a woman's arm, making it easy to muscle her around. Most times uttering, "You're making a scene," into the woman's ear. If done correctly, it will look like you're softly touching her back and whispering something sweet to her, when you're actually leaving four small bruises on one side of her arm and a giant thumb bruise on the other side. Used in context, looks like that twat is getting the goon hand. Yeah, that's pretty much it. He goon handed a fucking Breitbart reporter, and it became a huge thing for a week and a half. That's bad. You're bad. You're bad at your job. Corey Lewandowski is a hanger-on flunky who is so desperate for Donald Trump's affection that he will literally do or say anything. Up to and including, womp womp, when talking about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome being separated from her mom. If we want to stick to the issues, the best way to do it probably isn't womp womp. So fuck Corey Lewandowski. There we go. All right. What do you say we get into some crazy ads? We had a bunch of crazy ads get sent in. I have not seen them, for the record. I have kept myself pure, so I am watching them with you guys for the first time. Here we go. This is an ad for Richard Painter, his U.S. Senate candidate. He is running for Senate in Minnesota. It is an ad called Dumpster Fire.
Some people see a dumpster fire and do nothing but watch the spectacle. Some are too scared to face the danger, or they think it will benefit them if they just let it keep on burning. Others shrug and say, "Oh, all this talk of a dumpster fire, it's just fake news." There is an inferno raging in Washington. But here in the land of 10,000 lakes, we know how to put out a fire.
I am Richard Painter, and I approve of this message.
Oh my fucking God! Oh my fucking God! This fucking guy, he's my favorite politician. He's my favorite politician of all time. Rich Dick Painter. I don't want to talk about why he's talking like that, because I'm sure someone's going to look up and find out that he had some thing. I don't know. All I know is that his name is Dick Painter, and this is his voice.
Some people see a dumpster fire and do nothing but watch the spectacle.
Some people see a dumpster fire and do nothing but watch the spectacle.
Some are too scared to face the danger, or they think it will benefit them if they just let it keep on burning. Others shrug and say, "Oh, all this talk of a dumpster fire."
I love that he does an impression. He doesn't just say, "Other people say that the dumpster fire is fake news." He goes into his, "Hey, I'm walking here," impression.
Shrug and say, "Oh, all this talk of a dumpster fire, it's just fake news."
Oh my God, Dick Painter. Dick Painter.
There is an inferno raging in Washington.
By the way, for the audio listeners, there is a man in a suit standing in front of what I'm guessing is a green screen that has a dumpster fire being put out behind him. But it is a raging dumpster inferno.
But here in the land of 10,000 lakes, we know how to put out a fire.
I am Richard Payne.
Is Minnesota known specifically for putting out fires? I mean, there are 10,000 lakes. I guess there's a lot of water, but... Oh, my God. Thank you to everybody who sent that in. That's so fucking good. That's so good. I don't know. Is it better than Don Blankenship? Is it better than Don Blankenship and Cocaine Mitch? I'm going to put it up to you guys. Put it up to a vote. Let me know on Twitter, Justin R. Young. Oh, wait, hold on. So it is a green screen, but they did shoot it. He did get... He is in front of a real fire. Oh, my fucking God. So there was a green screen behind him. But that was a real fire they shot it on. Holy shit. All right, it's up to you guys who has the belt. We should send the campaign that has the greatest ad, like some cupcakes or something. Because we need to recognize how fucking nutty these ads are. Some people say a dumpster fire. It does have a Batman villain kind of thing, right? All right, here we go. We do have one more that came in. Let's take a look at this one. This is Levi Tillerman for Colorado. This is an ad called This Will Save Lives.
In just a few years, he'll be in school, and Donald Trump wants to give his teacher a gun?
All right, this is a Naraimi Choi, an immigrant mother and new citizen. It was her child that was the opening shot running through a field.
More students have been killed in school shootings in 2018 than U.S. troops in combat operations. We need common sense gun control, but that's not enough. There are 310 million guns in the U.S. and millions of assault-style weapons.
I'm Levi Tillerman. Washington needs more doers and innovators. That's why I'm running for U.S. Congress. I'm calling on Congress to stop talking past each other and try something new. Empower schools and teachers with non-lethal self-defense tools like this can of pepper spray.
What? All right, so what we saw so far, we're 45 seconds in. 45 seconds in, Levi Tillerman, a young a white man with an open collar and a white shirt and a pastoral background. We've just gotten some good bedrock talking points about gun control legislation. And Levi has now introduced pepper spray.
Pepper spray doesn't cost much, and it can be safely stored in a break glass in case of emergency cabinet. But it's powerful and won't accidentally kill a kid. Trust me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I think I know what's happening, because they cut away from him giving his talking points because they want to make sure that they get the good version of him talking about this the right way, because I have a feeling what's going to happen right now.
This will stop anyone in their tracks.
Oh, no. It says this is dangerous. Do not attempt on the screen. No. No. No, my God. He is getting fucking so much pepper spray right in the eyes. It is caking up around his eyes. Oh, Jesus. Why would you do that? He's fucking dunking his head in neutralizing stuff. He wears an undershirt.
It's incredibly painful. And now I just can't see anything.
He He's spraying his face with a hose, and it says there he's getting a serious gun control point while he's doing a fucking off-brand jackass stunt.
Wow.
He now has... I'm so sorry, but he fucking is like he's doing a real gun control ad, but he has, because he keeps dunking his head in some kind of soap mixture, right? But he has, you know, like when you were a kid in a bubble bath and you made different hairdos out of all the bubbles in a bubble bath. This motherfucker just has, he has a big old like soap buffont. He has a big soap buffont and he's like going to do a serious political point while he's brushing his soap buffont out of his eyes.
That's intense.
For less than $1 per person in the U.S.
He keeps dunking his head in this shit and it says and there's more gun control stuff. There's more than 3.1 million assault style weapons in the United States.
We can have a secured canister of pepper spray in every class.
Oh my god, is it more? He keeps getting more pepper spray being put into his eyes?
In the U.S., we can have a secured canister of pepper spray
oh,
in
Jesus.
Every classroom in America.
He keeps getting more?
It's just unbearable. It's like lava in your eyes.
Now he's just rubbing his face in the soap.
I'll go to the mat for our kids and community, not Washington Insiders Incorporated.
Oh my god, this fucking guy. This fucking guy. No, by the way, yeah, Sunvine says, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button and make sure you hit the bell to get alerts.
I still can barely see anything. I just see light. I see white. I see the outline of the tree vaguely. Oh my god.
It says non-lethal school defense is the safe option.
Talk is cheap.
And now it goes back to him before all this happened. A flashback to before he decided to repeatedly pepper spray himself in the face and make a soap buffont.
Washington needs doers. It needs leaders to break through the partisan gridlock and build a better future. That starts with making our schools safe again.
And now we're back to the kid running through the yard, throwing a stick to his dog, Levi Tillerman. Bring tea for the Tillerman and apparently some fucking pepper spray. I guess that was dish soap, right? Isn't it supposed to be? Yeah, Chimera says that you need milk or antacids to do it. Oh, my Lord. I mean, number one, at least we know what the Modern Rogue's favorite candidate is going to be. Big shout out to youtube.com/TheModernRogue. Oh, sweet Lord. Okay. All right. I can't. How do we even reset? How do we even fucking reset after that? Just fucking brilliant. Just brilliant. Both of them. God, this is the best time of year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to begin the only way that we know how to handle data science on this show. This is how you look forward to November, folks. This is a West Virginia Senate.
Get on the floor if you got that booty.
Dance. This is a Monmouth poll taken from June 14th to June 19th. 527 likely voters with a 5.3% margin of error for the West Virginia Senate seat. Coming up first to the stage, he is the Republican. Please give a big round of applause with 43% of the vote. It is Patrick Morrissey! But he is the sitting senator. Very good result for him in what could be a tough race. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for 50% of the vote for...
Get on the floor if you got that booty.
Joe Manchin! That is Manchin, the Democrat... The most conservative Democrat in the Senate holding his seat with a 7-point spread. That is a good result for the Democrats. Again, if you want to make headway in the Senate, let alone take the Senate, you need to protect the seats that are there for you, or that you are defending, because you can't gain unless you hold what you have. Joe Manchin would be the most ripe target to pick off, since theoretically a blue wave, quote-unquote, would not benefit him necessarily, as he is more conservative than the rest of his senatorial colleagues. So the fact that he is holding on bodes well for the picture in general. Let's go ahead and get into but your emails. Samuel writes in to theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Again, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Samuel writes, I normally don't go for making political hot takes, but there is one trend I wish would just stop. As a Christian, I wish that both sides would stop using my beliefs for their political gains. It even seems to be the same tactic as they used as some sort of moral high ground, when really, if you look at the basis of either side, it comes up with so many inaccuracies, it'll make your head spin. One side pretty much gives my faith a black eye by representing it wrong, and the other assumes that all quote-unquote Christians, as they claim to be, believe the same wrong way as they do, and as a result make my life much harder in the long run, as I have to explain that none of it is accurate. I really wish it would stop, so maybe my Twitter wouldn't annoy me in the morning with comedians making glib statements about my faith, not realizing that they are hitting more than just ignorant politicians with statements that they are making up. Then again, I'm sure it would anyway. Keep up the good work as my main source of political news. So, no one should have me being the only source of their political news. But also, here's the one thing that I have noticed that does annoy me a little bit, and I am an atheist myself, is when other folks who are... in my camp, the atheist camp, make a political point and then say, like, and you call yourself Christians? Because, A, it's like, I mean, like, we became atheists so we wouldn't have to worry about what being a Christian was, right? That was kind of the whole point. That's a feature, not a bug. So even if you've read the Bible, even if you grew up a Christian, like, I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I have respect for all my Christian friends. I might disagree with them on a lot of things, up to and including whether or not there's a God. But we can still all get along. Thank you for writing in, Samuel. Sean writes in, this isn't for jury. This is for those not backing at $3 per week on patreon.com/JURY. This past Friday, jury took the time to dissect the Trump quote about Kim's people standing up for him and Trump wanting the same thing. I play for the blue team. I wanted to take this as Trump continuing to move forward toward being a dictator. But Justin brought me back to reality. I can't recall which, but either 538 or NPR had a similar story about something else Trump did. If you read it, you'd assume one thing. If you heard it, there was a joking tone to it. I don't watch the news. I listen to it. Often this leads to people reading quotes out of context. Justin keeps me up to date on the news through a lens which equally critiques both sides and makes sure that there is context. If you don't get the Monday and Friday podcast and you love Wednesdays, please know that you are missing out. Give Justin the funding he deserves. After all, it is expensive for him to buy wine to fill his wacky decanter slash magic lamp thing. Thank you very, very much, Sean, for writing that in. The clip he was talking about was the Donald Trump saying that Kim Jong-un was a strong leader and he wishes that his people would stand up for him the way that Kim Jong-un's people stand at attention. The thing that I pointed out is that in the clip, which is a video clip, Trump points at the White House when he says, my people. So watching it, I took it to mean that he was talking about his staff, that Kim Jong-un's staff was very attentive to him. And it was a little bit more like, oh, these jamokes that I work with, was kind of the statement that he was making. It does highlight one of my least favorite trends in social media / Reddit, which is the find a quote and then make that the headline. Handy says Nazis are great. And it's like you watch the thing and it's like, liberals want me to say Nazis are great. And then it goes through that, right? So look, I'm just pointing out that very often there are context is sacrificed for political gain. I think I already talked enough about that, so we can move on. Mark writes, first, not sure if you saw Cagle's first attack ad with the farmer brandishing the shotgun. So this is about the governor's race in Georgia. Let's see if we've seen this ad. Bonus crazy ass ads for you guys today. This is Casey Cagle attacking Brian Kemp. Oh, god damn it. All right, so let's see if we can find this, because the stupid Atlanta Journal-Constitution wants me to pay them money so I can watch a YouTube video. All right. This is we actually played this a Casey Cagle ad last week because it is we played the old lady being mad at the Brian Kemp impersonator. Brian Kemp, as we remember, is the governor, the gubernatorial candidate that held a shotgun to a prospective suitor for his daughter. Here is this Casey Cagle lad.
So, Mr. Kemp, you want my vote?
I sure do.
Well, why'd you default on $700,000 worth of loans you personally guaranteed for a grain processor?
Well,
why'd you refuse to pay farmers millions of dollars you owed them for their crops? And why'd the state suspend your license from doing business with farmers?
Shame on
you, Brian Kemp. Get off my porch.
Brian Kemp, incompetent, untrustworthy.
All right, so we go back to the well when it comes to Brian Kemp and shotguns. But Mark points out that Cagle has been caught in a scandal by a loser in the Republican gubernatorial primary, Mr. Clay Tippins. Tippins caught Cagle confessing his supported legislation for political gain, even though the policy was bad. Anyway, it's got my parents, who are Bush Republicans, all in a tizzy because they voted for Cagle in the primary and now think he's shady. Maybe this is an opening for Stacey Adams and the wave in general. I think this is a very all politics are local thing, Mark. So it probably has more help for Stacey Abrams than it necessarily does nationally. I think that Stacey Adams certainly has a shot. I'll be excited to see what some of the polling is once the Republican runoff. Settles out. All right, that pretty much brings us to the end of this version of the Politics program. As a reminder, you can always email the show, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Join our Discord. This is a great place for political discussion. And we just made a political memes channel. Yes, whenever you see political memes, bring them to me. I need the memes so I can put them in the newsletter. So go to bit.ly/jurydiscord and you will be able to join it. If you're not familiar with Discord, then get on the train, baby. It's just a great always-on chat room, bunch of threads, bunch of communities, really smart people, really great discussion. We do our best to make sure that we get context and perspectives. What a rarity these days. Go ahead and join us there, bit.ly/jurydiscord. Reminder, you can get the Contender Game of Presidential Debate card game I designed over at thecontender.us. You can email me, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Follow me everywhere. At Justin R. Young. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all the cool stuff. Download archived episodes of this show at BonerWars.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up for this version of the show. My name is Justin Robert Young. Some shows talk about politics. Other shows talk about politics. This is the only show that talks about all three. I will see you guys next week.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.